the Nicholas this morning. Over to you.
Thank you.
Not at all.
You were just...
No, it's your hot dog.
Yes, yesterday I should have used it.
Yes.
She says, if I want to use the mic, can you hear me? Oh, I can hear you now. You can hear me now. How about that?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I like me.
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 I live this life for myself.
I live this life for myself.
And I don't care who knows it.
And I don't care who knows it.
Everyone is ready for my hugs because I am ready for my hugs. Now, I have naturally a mother and father, and sisters and brothers, and family and children. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about my family because I want you to realize it wasn't an easy chore for them to raise me. You know how that is. So, my mother and father were German background, and very definite people, very definite people. There were things you did do and things you didn't do, and they never got on our back about things you did do and things you didn't do. They merely made sure that we knew what was the right thing to do. And I shouldn't tell you the things they told me because we're living in a different age now. We're living in an age where those things that I learned as a young man are not necessarily true today. Like integrity, honesty, truthfulness, love, sharing, giving. Are they?
Yes.
They sure are, aren't they? I'd like to see it more evident. But hey, if I don't see it evident, then it's not in me. Because all the world out there is a reflection of me. You know, my mother always said to us, not that thou shalt not steal, you know, from the Bible, thou shalt not steal. She didn't say that. She just said, you should not steal, you know. And period. She left it alone for us. And then we would ask her, what do you mean, Mom, that we shouldn't steal? Well, that's rather self-evident, isn't it, son? Isn't it, son? That's rather self-evident. What does it mean not to steal? Does it mean... sometimes, or no time, or any time, or, you know, when should you not steal? I asked an 89-year-old guest of ours, student of ours, in fact, and I said, Dorothea, what would you do if you found a $1,000 bill lying on the street in the middle of nowhere? And she says, boy, I would like that very much. I would pick that up and I'd put that in my pocket because finders keepers, losers weepers. And I said, oh, you would you? And what would you do if that $1,000 bill was very important to somebody? In fact, it was going to pay their doctor bill or some significant thing in their life. And they lost it. And they retracked their steps to find where that $1,000 bill might have been lost, and then it wasn't there because you picked it up and you didn't need it, but you took that $1,000 bill because finders keepers, losers weepers, you know, what would you do? And she'd say, well, I'd still take it. I don't. What kind of a nut are you, you know? And so this is what we would do. If no one saw us picking up that $1,000 bill that didn't belong to anybody, it just blew along in the breeze, heck, yes, no, take it. Well, when you are a spiritually illumined being, when you are a divinely guided being, when you are one who lives the principle, you would let that $1,000 alone. It did not belong to you. It would not enhance your life. It would not do anything against your life. It's not yours. It's not yours. Would you pick up an old dirty handkerchief that someone had thrown away? Would you pick up a piece of Kleenex, you know, that someone had blown their nose on? No. Well, why should you pick up a $1,000 bill? Well, that's a different thing. No, it isn't. That $1,000 bill did not belong to you, therefore it should not have been picked up. You see, when we start thinking that that's our source, finding money, winning the sweepstakes, oh, how many of us love to play the sweepstakes and win. And how many won the sweepstakes in this audience here? I imagine maybe two or three, if that many. Hey, how many have you won the sweepstakes? Anybody? You're not going to admit to it, are you? Okay. You see, you don't gain your abundance in this universe by winning sweepstakes. You don't get your abundance by going to your job. You don't get your abundance by having your mother die or your father die and leaving you their wealth. A rich uncle passes away and leaves you his estate. You don't get your wealth that way. Easy come, easy go. You know how that is. Well, these are some of the virtues my parents taught to me. That's just one of them. Honesty. I cannot take anything and put it in my pocket without having a hole burned in my pocket and a hole burned in my leg. It says, you got something that doesn't belong to you. You got something that doesn't belong to you. You got something that doesn't belong to you. You know, and it just talks to me. It will not let me do that. Now, you say, who teaches things like that? Well, everybody. When I was a little boy, I had my chores to do. There were five kids in our family. And my chore was cleaning the kitchen floor every Friday night and cleaning the basement of the house and doing the outside of the house, whatever I wanted to do. I was just a little runt. And so I would sweep the sidewalks and things like that, and shovel the snow and what have you. Well, I love to get up early in the morning. I've always been an early riser. And so I would get up early in the morning, and I'd go up and down in front of the houses and shovel everybody's sidewalk. I wanted to shovel it when they didn't see it, because it made me happy to shovel the sidewalk. It made me feel good. And then some of the neighbors were little old ladies or people who couldn't do it. And so I'd shovel the sidewalk from the front of the street up into their house. And I would never tell anybody about it. And to this day, I was with my sister just this last week. She's 84 years old, I believe, 83, 84. And she was saying, you know, Herbie, you sure knew how to get out of work at home, didn't you? And I said, what do you mean I knew how to get out of work? She said, well, whenever there's work to be done, you weren't around. And I said, I always did my chores. Well, what were your chores? She didn't even know. I mean, here she grew up with me, the two older sisters, twins, and she didn't even know what my jobs were. She knew what hers were. And so I told her what my jobs were. She says, oh, okay. Okay. I said, I do my work first thing in the morning, right away before I go to school, right away before anything else, and then when I come home from school, I don't have to worry about it. It's all done. Then I can do some other projects that I like to do, like having a garden in the backyard and digging it by hand, not with all these wonderful new gadgets that are available, but it was wonderful. And I'm not saying I'm so good. I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed giving of myself. And all of my life, abundance has poured back to me because I gave out. I gave unstintingly. I gave without asking for people to give me credit, without asking for people to tell me that I'm so wonderful. Now, I know that your comment is going to be, well, Dr. Barley, when are you going to talk about stem cells? Well, I'm coming to that. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. You see, when we gain integrity, when we teach our children integrity, our children will grow up to be integrity. We don't teach them by saying, you must do this and you must do that and you must do this, that's for, to be integral. We don't say that. We just give them what? An example. We are a living example. We don't pick up that $1,000 bill on the street. You say, oh my God, who's not so crazy to pick up a $1,000 bill? Well, the honest man isn't. The honest person, if it does not belong to me, I cannot pick it up. I cannot touch it. I cannot do anything with it. I don't want it. I don't want it. And this is part of my nature. This is part of the nature of anyone who wants to be living a life that is filled with every good and beautiful thing. Now, my dad was a hard worker, mother was a hard worker, and my brothers and sisters were probably hard workers too, but I did not look to see what they were doing. I only looked upon what I did. I did my tasks. Well, you know, my sisters, they were so mean to me. They were so mean to me. They were so mean to me. My sisters were so mean to me. I would scrub the kitchen floor, and then they would come with their dirty feet and walk on my kitchen floor while I was still scrubbing it. You know, I mean, that's about as bad as you can get, isn't it? So I fooled them. I fooled them. I flooded the kitchen floor with water, and then I let it soak on the tile, and nobody walked out there. And they didn't know when I was going to have it all dried up. So I got a chance to do the kitchen floor perfectly without them walking at it. I didn't get angry at them. I just figured out, how can I fool them so that they will not bother my floor while I'm working on it? You see, when we do things in love, I didn't hate my sisters. I thought they were giving me a hard time, but I didn't hate them, you know? And they never noticed what I was doing. They thought I was playing out in the kitchen, making a puddle out there, you know? And I was, and I had a good time. And that floor was spick and span. But you see, do your duties with love. Do them with care. Do them with givingness. Not that someone, they never did appreciate, my sisters never appreciated how I cleaned the kitchen floor. Can you imagine that? They never appreciated it. And I didn't care. Because I did it for me. Now, when we do it for ourselves, then great things happen. Now, you have thought for years, and I have thought for years, the law of cause and effect is a powerful tool. It is a great and wonderful tool. And we thought, gee, that's super, the law of cause and effect. Whatever thoughts I put in motion, those are the things that I'm getting back into my life. Whatever causes I'm putting in motion, that's the things I'm getting back in my life. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay. But it's hard to believe that. It's hard to believe it. Every day your minister walks into this church. Every day when she walks into this church, she has a smile on her face, and she sees people in this church who are fulfilled, uplifted, who are spiritually illumined, who are magnificent, just like she is. And that's what she sees, and that's what she gets. Do you think she's worried whether there are bills to be paid? Do you think she's worried whether there are tasks to be done in this church? No. She just puts the cause in motion, and when the cause is in motion, it is done. Now, what carries that cause out? What carries it into fruition? That's a big test that we'd all like to know a little more about, right? Now, okay, tell us your secret. What carries it into fruition? All right, this is what her secret is. She is very special. She didn't bring her white cap today, but she's very special. She has every single day born in her brain, every single day, 10,000 brand new stem cells. stem cells that are undifferentiated. They have, oh, you want me to do it a little better? She reminds me when I can be more helpful. That's great. Every day we have 10,000 stem cells in every one of our brains, born there, ready to go to work. Ready to go to work, ready to go. Oh, Herb, don't get so excited. I was with my little grandnephew the other day, and he brought out the clay dough, and he's 3 years old, and he gave me the clay dough. He says, "How do you like that, Uncle?" And I said, "Oh, that's nice clay dough. Oh, boy, that's great clay dough. Oh, boy, boy, boy." And I pounded on it, and I shouted, "You're funny. You're funny. You're nice." And you see, get excited. Be nice. Be funny. Okay, now these 10,000 stem cells born in our brain every day are given a very bad show by most of us. Number one, we don't recognize that they're there. If I said to you, "Madame, what would you do if Jesus was going to visit in your house today?" She said, "My God, I'd get the cleaning. I'd clean the house and I'd make it all spick and span and wonderful. And I would have it all nice and beautiful. Oh, my goodness, would I make it nice, you know. And I'd have flowers all over the place for Jesus, you know." And you know what Jesus would say? He would say, "I am with you always. Always. Always have those flowers out. Always have that house spick and span. Always have everything in perfect divine order." You see, that's what's important. That's what's important. We have these 10,000 little tiny baby stem cells. They don't know what they're supposed to do yet. They're undifferentiated. They haven't been told what to do. Science is coming out more and more every day, telling us more and more about these beautiful stem cells. And I'll tell you a little more about it later. But every day, and you know what they're doing? You know what they're doing? They're like the choir. They're all lined up there saying, "Okay, choir master, what are we going to sing today?" And he says, "I haven't thought about it." "Golly Moses, what do we hire you to be choir master for? You're supposed to tell us what we're going to sing, right?" Right? Yes, he shakes his head, right. He has to, you know. Okay, so what would the choir be if they had no songs to sing? They wouldn't be a choir, would they? You know what they'd do? They'd probably associate with other people who also have nothing to do. And what do people do who have nothing to do? They tend to get into trouble. They tend to do nonsense things, you know? It's silly. Well, these 10,000 stem cells up here are just waiting for you and me to tell them what to do. You say, "My goodness, 10,000 stem cells. How do I begin to tell them what to do? That's a lot of stem cells to be telling what to do." No. Do you think a general thinks that he's got a big army and it's a lot of things to do? No. What does the general do? He says, "Today we're doing this. Tomorrow we're doing that." Isn't that what he says? He doesn't worry about it. And then do you know what the general does? He expects it to be done. So, now, you tell your stem cells, "Today I want us to clean house. I would like to have you infiltrate my entire body and say, I like me, 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 I like me." And so now the stem cells say, "Oh, when the saints come marching in, oh, when the stem cells come marching in, wow, what great things will happen." They come marching in and they're having a joyous thing because it's their nature. It's their nature to be wonderful and good and beautiful and fantastic and glorious. And it's their nature to be rotten and dumb and stupid too. "Oh, Herb, you shouldn't say that." Well, who's judging rotten and stupid and who's judging good? That's us. We're the one who's making a judgment. You know, I told you the story about the Big Bang Theory, this little old atom up in the sky, or wherever it was in the black void, and the little old atom says, "I'm bored." How does he know he's bored? There's no other atoms around. He'd never had an experience of being bored, but whoops, said he's bored. And he said, I would like to have some friends. I'm going to hold my breath and blow up and have friends. Well, now, isn't that an interesting story? And out comes the Big Bang, which becomes the universe that we know today. And we say, wow. One little atom could blow up and do those wonderful things. Just imagine what one little stem cell in you could do if it were properly directed. Girls, what do you think my mother thought of me? Do you think she thought that was a pretty good kid? Do you think my mom thought Herbie's a pretty good guy? You think so? Yeah, sure she did. I used to sometimes stay overnight at a friend's house and not call Mom and say, Mom, I'm staying overnight. And then I'd come home the next day and she'd say, well, did you have a good time? Sure. My sisters would stay out overnight and she'd say, where were you? But of me, she never asked, because she knew she had planted the seeds in me for purity, for honesty, for goodness, for integrity, for all that is the values that our family was built on and is built on. This is what you want your stem cells to be built on. Integrity. Do not let your stem cells think that just because there's a $1,000 bill laying on the ground, you should pick it up. You know Mr. Gates, Bill Gates. He cannot afford to bend over and pick up a $10,000 bill because he's making $1 million bills an hour. Really? He's a billion. He has so much money. He has so much wealth. He has so much. And this is how you and I are too. We have so much, but we're piddling around and picking up things that don't belong to us. Of taking things that don't belong to us. Is a cold yours? Do you deserve a cold? No! Then don't claim it. I have a cold. This is my cold. How many people you heard say that, huh? I have a sick headache. Oh, you give me a sick headache. Oh, you're giving them away nowadays. My goodness, I'm not going to take them. And you see, your stem cells are listening to you just like you're listening to me right now. And the stem cells are saying, hey, if you tell me I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. Remember the skunk in Bambi? You know, you call me flower if you want to, you know. Remember that? No, you don't remember that. How many of you have seen Bambi? Beautiful movie. The kind of movies we probably should watch more of. But how about that? What sort of thoughts, ideas, concepts are we feeding to our stem cells? Doctors tell us that they can take these stem cells and they can put them into an organ and reorganize that organ from a diseased organ into a totally perfect organ, returning that organ to its original purity and integrity. This is not something I'm making up. It sounds like I'm making it up because it's so fantastic, it's outrageous, but it's true. It's true. These stem cells are in you and me. Now, they were thinking stem cells, 10,000 in the brain, how they counted, that's interesting. But then they were taking from the placenta, and they were taking it from the birth cords and stuff. And you know what is happening now? You know what's happening now? They're finding the greatest source of stem cells that you could ever imagine that are available without disturbing anybody. Where do they come from? They come from menstruation. Isn't that something? The cells of menstruation were all stem cells. They were all the creative cells that were to join with the sperm or whatever it was to join with to bring about a new life, a new body, a new being. And they were all undifferentiated, waiting to be told what to do. And so the doctors are now harvesting the menstruation stem cells. And they are finding that they can do miracles with them, and they're doing miracles with them. Now, this is on the medical and on the physiological factor of it, and that's not something that we really are too concerned with, because, I mean, you're not going to have a stem cell sandwich for lunch. Wouldn't that be interesting? But a stem cell sandwich is what you're really having, but it's sort of down the hill a little further. Are you ready to be so beautiful? Are you ready to be this wonderful person that you are really inside yourself, that your own personal integrity is? Are you ready to be that?
Yes.
Are you ready right now to let the past be past? What did Jesus say to that man who was lying on his bed ill? He said, oh, come on now. He said, pick up your bed and get out of here. Pick up your bed and walk. And he said, and leave all your illness behind. Leave it behind. As long as you think thoughts of poverty, illness, unhappiness, they are going to own your world and your life. As long as you think of anything that limits you, it's going to possess you. It's going to be what you live and what you believe. But fortunately, you're here in this New Life Center of Truth. And in this New Life Center of Truth, you're having a new lease on life in the New Life Center of Truth. A new lease on life. A new attitude toward life. A new attitude toward yourself. But whenever you doubt yourself, just say, could I leave a $1,000 bill lying on the ground untouched? Could I? That would be a tough thing, wouldn't it? Even Bill Gates wants to bend down and pick it up, you know? With all the money that guy has, he wants... How many of you still pick up a penny when you see it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's surprising. It depends on how old you are. The younger children pick them up because they're unique. The older people pick them up because that's what they used to go to the penny store and buy candy with. And it used to buy a lot of candy, too. But the thing is, times change. Now, what are you ready for? Are you ready to tell your stem cells what you want them to do? And the stem cells indeed are the saints that go marching in. They are ready to do the work you want them to do. But are you trained like I was trained by my mother and father to just do my chores and not ask for credit? To do my chores and not tell everybody I did it, not to shovel the sidewalk in the middle of the day so that other people could see that I was shoveling it, not mow the neighbor's lawns as well as my sister said to me in my visit just 2 days ago, she said, you know, Irby, you disappeared from the house so quickly, and then you'd go over and you'd be working for the neighbors. You'd be helping the neighbors. You'd be doing things in the neighbor's yard. And you didn't get paid for it half the time. And you were doing things for other people. And, you know, Herbie, I don't understand that, you know. And I thought, here she is, my favorite sister, you know. She's the most beautiful, loving sister you could ever want in your life. And she didn't know the answer. She didn't know the answer. She raised 6 kids herself. And her kids are all fabulous. But the thing is, what values did we learn? What values were we taught? My sister had a very unhappy statement. So they were twins. And the sister Marie that is living, the sister May passed on, but Marie would always say, May was more beautiful than I am. May was more this and that than I am. And she didn't realize, because it was integral in her nature, that she was really the most fantastic girl in the earth. Most fantastic lady that could ever be. And everybody worships her and loves her. And I showed Ellen a picture of her as I took it with my special little camera. And Ellen said, she's a queen. She's an absolute queen. But you see, we don't always realize how wonderful we are, and maybe it's just as well. But what we can realize is that we have the ability to put the cause in motion to bring about the result that we want in our life, to tell our stem cells what to do. Now, my mother and dad, they taught me values. They taught me principles. They taught me these things. And they didn't go out and say, this is principle, now learn it, learn it, learn it. 2 times 2 is 4. They just said, hey, we don't do that. And they said, And in our family, we don't have sexual relations until we get married, you know, and things like that. And of course, in this day and age, we think how strange that would be. Well, where are your values? In Nigeria, they have a little thing that they send around to all of the buses and streetcars and taxis, and it's a boy and a girl sitting back to back. I think there's a athletic company that uses that as their theme too, and it says true love can wait. True love can wait. And why do they say true love can wait? Because it's such a tragical thing with all the AIDS that's going around down there. I mean, do we have to have a tragical thing take place until we begin to respect one of the most glorious conditions that life has given to a human being? The ability to procreate, the ability to have a good relationship? You see, where are our values? I don't expect to go changing anybody's values today. But I expect that you might take another look at your values and say, where's your cold? Where's your cold?
No cold.
I have no cold. Did you ever own a cold?
No.
No. Did you ever own my broken leg? Did you ever have my headache? Did you ever have my poverty? Yeah? Forget them. I am independently wealthy. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am fantastic. I am glorious. I am wonderful. And then the stem cells up here are going to say, hey, I like that dance of joy. Let's join in and let's have fun. And they will bring more and bring more. But if you let these stem cells go undirected, they will join the other stem cells of your eyes, ears, nose, throat, body, and life and affairs of whatever limitations that you might have experienced. And they'll say, oh, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have a cold. Oh, we're supposed to have this. Or we're supposed to have that. And what do you want the stem cells to join in your life with? I like me. I'm abundant. I have a healthy body. I live in a world of peace. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. You have a couple of songs in your songbooks that I just like to rip up and throw away. And it's not because they're bad. It's just because you get windy. And you said, let there be peace on earth. Oh God, let there be peace, please. Now, what would God say? By the way, who's God? I am. You are. God is right in each of us. God is a... Now there is peace on earth, and it began with my thought. Now there is health in my body, and it began with my thought. Now there is wealth in my affairs, and it began in my thought. Now I am fantastic, and it began in my thought. I'm surrounded by a world of glorious, harmonious, happy people, and it began in my thought. Do you understand that? It began in our thought. Well, this is what the University of Healing teaches, and this is what your minister and her daughter and others have learned. This is what it is. It began in you. You see, you are chicken. You are afraid to say the truth about yourself. Jesus said, the disciples said, Jesus, where is God, you know? And he said, look low here, low there. But the kingdom of God, Luke 17:22, the kingdom of God is within each being. Right in us is the kingdom. And who dwells in the kingdom of God? God. So when we can say, I am God, when we can make that statement, make that claim, then we'll start acting like God. And we'll start leaving all these extramarital associations away. We'll leave all this poverty away. We'll leave all this illness away. We'll leave all this unhappiness away. And we'll have a world of peace, a world of love, a world of joy, because that will be our concentration. Are you ready for that?
Yes!
Yes. Are we going to do it from this moment forward, all of our lives?
Yes!
Yes. Do you like yourself?
Yes.
Can you say, I am God? I am God. God, I am. Can you believe it?
Yes.
And you see, You say that in front of some of our fundamental traditional friends, and they'll say, "How sacrilegious of you to say that." And you say, "How sacrilegious of me not to say that. That's what Jesus taught. And I am of a Christian foundation. I am a Buddhist foundation. I'm a Israeli Muslim foundation. I'm a whatever foundation." It all says the same thing. It all says the same thing. And what is the statement? Man, know thyself. Man, know thyself. Man, know your stem cells. And the stem cells are not only here, they're finding out that they're all through your body. And what do the stem cells want to do, or what do the stem cells, what can the stem cells do? They can return your body to its original purity and integrity. Nice, huh? Your stem cells can return every organ, action, and function of your body to its original purity and integrity. Your stem cells can return the image of God created the earth, you know, and called it
good.
Oh, good! Ho, ho! And is that, what's the original purity and integrity of the earth?
Good.
Ooh, isn't she great? I know why you like her as your minister. She always has the right answer at the right time in the right way for all of you to live your life in the most beautiful, fantastic, glorious ways. You know, 2 days ago, 31 years ago, I had the privilege of ordaining this lady as a minister. And she has done nothing since that time except to be more and more glorious, expressing her original purity and integrity in every organ action under her body, in her life and her affairs and her world. She's your living example. And now, what has happened to her daughter? Her daughter is a living example, but she's got other daughters. And they're super too. And she has a son who is a magnificent expression. And she has a former husband who still lives down in Guyana, who is a neat guy. But he's just doing his thing and she's doing her thing. And never the twain shall meet, and that's okay. But the thing is, do your own thing, like yourself. Let the past be behind. Do you know what happens whenever she goes to Guyana and sees her former... Do you ever see him?
Yeah.
Okay, she's... Huh? Her husband. Are you still married? Are you still married?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Go. Wow, this is even more magnificent. I mean, that they can create themselves in two worlds, and wow, you're super, you know that? Every day I learn something new about this lady. I'm not one to pry into a person's background or into what their problems are. I only like to hear about the joy and the harmony and the peace that they're living. And when I do it, thank you for telling me shit. And she's just fantastic. But the thing is, when she goes to see him, what happens? Peace. Does she recall the past? Does she say, "Well, sweetheart, remember when we were 19 years old? Remember when we were 25 and stuff like that?" No. She says, "Now is the acceptable time." And she says, "You know, sweetheart, what's his name?
Llewellyn.
Every day you get more fabulous, more wonderful, more magnificent." Can you say that about your spouses? Her daughter and son just love to go down and visit Daddy because he is a cool guy. Now, you and I, we want to take a little message from this of being a cool guy, of having an attitude that brings us all good into our life. You know, I could have been very upset when I was a teenager because I would go into my backyard. And we had a large backyard, about the size of this room here, actually. And I would dig it up. and I would plant a victory garden. And it's because it was the time of the Second World War, just before it was, just as it was getting going. And I would dig this all by hand, and I was a little shrimp. And I would dig and dig and dig. And my older brother, who always bugged me, but my older brother, he would dig part of the yard for his garden. And what did he plant? He planted flowers there. And he had the most glorious, beautiful flower garden. And everybody went out and said, "Ray, what a beautiful flower garden. Ray, how lovely. Can I have some of your flowers?" They never asked for my vegetables. In fact, I couldn't even give them away half the time. But then my brother went into the Army and the Air Corps, and he was in Japan. And when he was in Japan, he was visiting a monastery, and he visited the people who lived below the monastery, and the people were living in a very great deal of poverty. And the monks from the monastery would come down in their very ostentatious robes and in their begging bowls and so forth, and go around the community begging from the community. And then they'd go back up to their monastery, and they would have lots of food, and they grew lots of food. They had everything up in their monastery. They didn't need what the people had. But they went down, and he asked the people, "Why do you give these monks things when they have everything?" He said, the people said, "Because they pray for us. They pray for us for our good health, for our wealth, and for our happiness. We do not look at what they have. We look at what we have to give. And when we look at what we have to give, more comes to us in overflowing abundance." And now, in your church here, you have an opportunity to let it be part of your abundance program. You have the opportunity to pour your abundance into this church, you know. You can do many wonderful things. Your service is great, and your abundance is even greater. But just think, if each one of you gave $10,000 to the church today, something like that, each one of you gave $10,000 to the church today, that would mean that was 10% of your normal income. 10% of your income. Isn't that great? I would love to have to pay $2 million or even $1 billion in taxes every year. Because if I did, you can imagine what I'd be worth. Imagine what Bill Gates has to pay in taxes, you know? And does he complain? Not at all. Because his money just makes money so fast. And your money makes money so fast. But as you give, so shall you receive, as you share. Now, when your kids, or yourselves, want to go out for dinner, you say, "Okay, we'll set a limit of $20 for the dinner, $30 for the dinner, $50, whatever you're going to set the limit for." Or do you say, "We're going to go out, whatever restaurant we choose, and we're going to buy the food that pleases us. Not the most expensive or the cheapest, but the food that pleases us." It doesn't have to be the most expensive. Mostly the most expensive is stuff you don't really want anyhow. You're not used to it. But so you buy food that delights you. And you do not look at the bill. You do not look at the bill. If you look at the bill, you'll say, "Oh," and that is not good. You just eat and enjoy. And as you eat and enjoy, more comes to you, more abundance flows through you, more wonderful joy flows through you. You are fabulous. Now, I know this works. I know this works. We were being nice to a lady, and she wanted to come up and visit us on the campus. And we told her, "Fine, we'll bring you up." And she's just a little old lady. I think she was 89 at the time, 88, something like that. And so we brought her up. She said, "Oh, I like this place. Oh, I think this is wonderful." And I said, "Well, you're welcome to come up and visit anytime you want. And if you want to take our courses, we'd be happy to help you take the courses." And she says, "Oh, I love that so much." And she says, "By the way, I have a church that I own, and I'm not using it right now. Would you like to have it?" Well, sure, happy to have it, you know. So she gave us this church that she owned, and we said thank you. And then is a adjudicated church. It's a fully legal church. And so then she said, well, now here's the checkbook. And we said, fine, you know, a couple hundred dollars or whatever's in there, but fine. And so she gave it to us, and she said, this is yours now. And it was $278,000. Now, isn't that a lovely thing? We gave. We loved her. Yes, we gave and we loved her. We didn't expect anything from her. And then, every week, or rather every 2 weeks, she would send us a check for $300. I mean, what a wonderful lady. And she had a little red Jeep that belonged to her church. And so we got that Jeep. But I told her, you keep that Jeep and you drive that Jeep because you need to be mobile. And now she's 90-some and she's still driving the Jeep and being mobile and just loving it. But you see, when you give unstintingly, I'm not trying to have you praise me for what I've done. I feel very blessed. I'm having you praise the principle because it works for everybody. And it might as well work for you to bring into your life all the joy, the goodness, the original purity and integrity of who you are. Are you all wonderful?
Yes!
You like yourself?
Yes!
You like me?
Yes!
Thank you! I do too. Yes, yes? Oh, she's telling me I should have a drink of water rather than quitting. Isn't she great? We're doing great. So, you're dealing with a principle, and the principle says, whatever it is that you want, whatever it is, you can have. When people come to us, I should let her have this as her statement, but I'm going to steal it anyhow. When people come to us, and they say, Dr. Barley, I have a problem. I want to tell you all about my problem. And I said, very good. I charge $400, well, $500 really, $500 an hour to talk about your problem. And I charge 50 cents an hour to talk about your solution. Now, do you want me to hear your problem and be unhappy with you in your problem? Or do you want me to revel with you and delight with you in the solution? Well, most of them, they love that solution. And I say most of them because the other ones, they get so angry at me. $500 an hour? What kind of a church is this at $500 an hour? That's the stupidest thing in the world. Hey, you're dealing with an abundant church. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. But really, this is what it is. We talked with a lady in Switzerland, and her husband was an architect, and they're quite well-to-do, and she had problems. And so she went to one of my students in Switzerland and said, give me a hand. And so he worked with her, and she says, well, you should be paid for this. What are you being paid? He said, well, $400 an hour. I told him he should get what a psychiatrist or psychologist gets. So he charged her $400 an hour and worked with her and helped her. And then she wanted to talk to me. And he charged her $400 for me, too. You know, he could have raised it to $500, you know, but he charged $400. And she said, well, I want both of you. And so that's $800. 800 Swiss francs. And she was perfectly happy to pay it. Well, when she got done with me and him, she was done. And she didn't need anybody anymore. Her problems were no longer there. She was living in solutions, and it was done. It was an investment that was well worth it for her. And it's an investment well worth it for each of us to let the past be gone. If you're going to say, my cold, or my broken leg, or my headache, or my problem, then it's your problem, your broken leg, and your headache. But let the stem cells that are ready, willing, and able to go to work, to bring into your life wholeness, perfection, right action, truth, and love, right now. Harmony in the world. There now is what?
Peace and love.
peace on earth. And where to begin? With me. Now, to have peace on earth, I recommend, I don't tell you you should do this, but I recommend this. That's like telling you should do it. I recommend to have peace on earth, you stop thinking about countries at war. You stop thinking about countries in conflict. You stop thinking about your legislators and your government as being the most stupid, idiotic people in the world. You voted them in, you know. You're the ones who put them there. You made the choice. So they can't be that bad. But why not start today seeing your legislators, your President Bush, that everybody's got such a hang-up over. President Bush doesn't deserve what you're doing to him. You're calling him a fink, and you're the fink, because you're the ones who are not saying, President Bush is a good president, President Bush does the right thing, President Bush brings peace on earth, President Bush looks around the world and brings peace, and brings peace, and brings peace, and brings peace, and brings peace. There now is peace on earth, because President Bush is bringing peace on earth. Wow! Can you imagine that? Well, Herb, that's a lie. No, that isn't. Because you are President Bush, whether you like it or not. We put him into office, and we are the one who sustain him in office with our good thoughts of what a good president he is. And if we think he's a stinker, you can bet your boots he's a stinker. And you made it that way. So let's start making our president the most fantastic guy or girl or whatever in the world. And it's not who it is, it's you it is. You are the ones, we are the ones who make our president who what he is. We are the ones who make our children what they are. Do you have good children?
Yes. Are they the most beautiful children in the world? Are they the healthiest children in the world? Are they the wealthiest children in the world? Are they the happiest children in the world?
Wow! Can you imagine if you think about your children this way? And what about your husband and wife? Are you a wise person? Did you choose the most wonderful spouse in the world? Or did you choose a loser? If you chose a loser, you're a loser. Because a loser chooses a loser. So don't go calling your wife or husband a loser. Call them wonderful. Call them beautiful. Call them fantastic, just like you are. Because this is what the principle is all about. So, now, this lady here is your minister, guided, supported, surrounded by other beautiful ministers, including her family. Is she the greatest minister on the face of the earth?
Yes!
Does she have the greatest church on earth?
Yes!
Is it the richest church on earth?
Yes!
Does she know how to spend the money the church brings in?
Yes!
Is she a fabulous lady?
Yes!
Oh, come on!
Yes.
Is she a fabulous lady?
Yes!
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you.
And thank you. It's been a joy to share these stem cell thoughts with you. But this is no joke. This is no joke. Let the past be past, and let be past.
Let there be peace on earth. God, let there be peace.
You're God. There now is peace on earth. There now is peace on earth, and it began in your heart, in my heart, in the hearts of all the people on earth that you see having peace on earth. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? My associate would say, put that microphone up to your puss. Yeah. But yes, it is wonderful. And each one of you are so wonderful. Because every time I come back here, I feel like I'm among my lovers. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. Dr. Bali.
I love you.
I love you.
You are fantastic.
You are handsome.
Thank you.
Are you just coming back soon?